It's in dry sleep, I have to keep my eye on it.
In terms of money, you get better. So, all right, talk and talk. Two announcements. Number one, the shield is dedicated by Shirley and Barbara Binowitz in memory of their parents, Max and Paula Berkowitz, Alain Marshallon, and Meyer and Dora Rabinowitz, Alain Marshallon, and our study of Torah will be Lizetra Mishpatam in their memory. The second announcement, Sylvia Cohen, as you must remember, Sylvia Cohen lost her husband, and she is sitting shiva, Hatzvira number 9, Rehov Hatzvira number 9, apartment 1, which is in the German colony, and she's sitting shiva until Friday noon. Today's shiur is part 2 of last week's shiur. Last week's shiur, we began a discussion of the sanctity of Yerushalayim and the Beit HaMikdash, and we reached the point where we learned the Rambam that we will take another look at soon. But in a sense, it's also related to Parashat HaShavua, because last week at the end of the Seder, following the Akedah, Avraham Avinu was the one who says, Hashem ye omer hayom ba'a Hashem ye ro'eh, that God shall be seen at this place on this mountain. Avraham Avinu was one called Harabayit Mountain. In this week's Seder, says, Vayetze Yitzchak Lasuach Vasodeh, Eliezer is bringing Rivka back from Padahakam, and she is to be a wife to Yitzchak. And Yitzchak goes out to greet them. Vayetze Yitzchak Lasuach Vasodeh, it says, Yitzchak went out to speak, to communicate with God in the field. That was Tfilat Mincha. And then later on in Parashat Vayetze, we're going to have Yaakov, who sleeps and dreams on the site on Har Hayit, where he sees the ladder with the angels of heaven going up and down the ladder. And then he says, Ein Zeki in Beit Elokim, this is the house of God, this is Shah HaShamayim, and this is the gate to heaven. So Avraham called that place Har Hayit, called it Har, Yitzchak called it Sodeh, and Yaakov called it Invite. We also mentioned the famous Medrash, where the Medrash says that the name given to this great city was given to it by none other than God himself. It's the only city on the face of this earth whose name was given to it by the Rebbeinu. Not New York, not Toronto, not London, not any other particular place on the face of this earth. There's only one single solitary place where God himself is the one who gave it its name. And he gave it the name Yerushalayim, a composite of Yireh that was said by Avraham, Sholem that was said by Shem Benar, and of course the idea that Yerushalayim always represents a duality. Ayin, Einayim, Raglayim, Yerushalayim, Osnayim. Because in its ultimate sense, it is a Jewish city of Yerushalayim that will become the divine metropolis for a whole world. By the way, in their subconscious, they must realize that something that draws everybody to Yerushalayim. Everybody wants a piece of the rock over here. And the fact is that Christian groups have been buying up this rock for a long time, and Muslim groups have been buying it up. Ultimately, the great message that will go out from Yerushalayim is only Yerushalayim, there is a Jewish one, Ultimately, the Savior will come to Har Zion and God will judge the nations of the world. All right. Your first side this week was your second side last week. But the second page this week, you didn't have last week at all. Now, again, a word of caution. A word of caution. The purpose of this year is not so as to come out against many Gedolei Yisrael who prohibit going up to the mountain. I only want to point out that there is a legitimate and valid other opinion. And you know, we Jews have now fallen apart because of differences of opinion. I think we thrive on them. And it's legitimate within the context of Torah. There can be differences of opinion. Now, there are certain issues on which I get the feeling there is no difference of opinion permitted. I just minding my own business. Minding my own business. I didn't go out looking for this. Here it is. I'm reading one of the few articles that I read in the Kohen Shalom, and at the end of the article, they quote just a quote from a Chaver Knesset of Dekala Torah, Anachnu nifrosh mehakoalitzia. If Yehudim ya'alu lahar habayit al pi hachlatat ha-memshalah. We are going to leave the Polish government. We're going to bring down this government if the government will grant permission for Jews to go up to the Temple Mount. This was said by Moshe Gafni of Yadot HaTorah, and the title of it is Yehorid Valiyama. Bring down, brother, they're ready to bring down a government. If Chas V'Shalom, the government is going to say the Jews have a right to go up to Harabai, it doesn't stop anybody who doesn't want to go up from not going up. So I don't understand. It's in a sense that they want to impose their will on everybody else. You can't go up. And the government cannot permit you to go up. And the end, of course, is the result of all of this is that the holiest site to Klal Yisrael is one that's being desecrated day in and day out. That's what's happening. And there is no Jewish presence there. Yes?
Just the only thing that...
A little louder.
What I want to say is, I understand what they mean. It's not what they passed in heaven. They just don't want the government to pass in China. That's
no, 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 no,
that's what I think.
No, 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 no. I'm sorry. I love you, but that's not what... That's not what's about. Not at all. No, it's not. Alright, so let me get the story straight. And then here I am, I don't know why. I don't usually do it, very so often I get excited, I see a front page of Mishpacha magazine, so I read a Mishpacha magazine, you know. And at the end there's a story, the fellow writes stories. And the stories are something that take place at the time of the Beit HaMikdash. I can't even figure out in the context of the story why it was necessary, and maybe I'll have to check this week, maybe it comes every week. There's an asterisk, and it doesn't go to any place here. And it just says at the bottom, Jewish law forbids all Jews to enter the area of Har HaBayit, which involves Koresh. This story does not condone entering forbidden areas. Right? Jewish law forbids all Jews to enter the area of Har HaBayit, which involves the punishment of Koresh. A very simple statement.
That area
no. I have my own notes. If it's yours, I'll tell you what it is. Now, that's a wrong statement. It's absolutely wrong. There are areas on Har Habayit that you're permitted to go up with the proper halachic preparation. All I want you to do is know what the halacha is. That's all. And once one knows the halacha, if one wants to choose to follow that opinion that says, listen, stay away from the mountain, okay. But first you have to know the halacha. So I'm going to let you know that the halacha is that there are vast areas of Har Habayit where one is permitted to go up onto the mountain, but one has to prepare themselves properly, which means, number one, immersion in a mikveh, and for men it means immersion in a mikveh with the same preparations that a woman would do when she goes to the mikveh, not starting just going to the mikveh, and one is not permitted to wear leather shoes on them. I'm going to see a number of halachas, and the significance of these halachas is the idea that many of the laws with regard to how we're supposed to conduct ourselves in a shul come from the halachas of how we're supposed to conduct ourselves on the Temple Mount. Yes?
At the time of Beit HaMikdash, there were certain areas that Kohanim, only Kohanim were allowed. Certain areas were only Israelim were allowed.
Yes.
And Gerim and Goyim were only allowed within a certain part of that. Gerim and Goyim weren't allowed to go up on most of the part of the Har Habayit. How is it those people who say that we aren't allowed to go don't say that it's forbidden according to halacha for Gerim to go?
I can't speak for anybody else. I just want to learn the halacha. Let's see what the rabbi said. I hear what you say. Let's say in advance, you have to know that the Temple Mount is a large area. There is one part of the Temple Mount which was the site of the Beit HaMikdash. Nobody has a right to step onto that part of the mountain. Finish. Nothing to talk about. Beyond the area and the larger portion of the Temple Mount is not the area of the temple itself. That larger portion of the mountain with proper halakhic preparation, one is permitted to go up to the mountain. Those who oppose going up to the mountain are concerned that if the government permits going up to the mountain, people will go without that halakhic preparation. People are going to stray into areas that are beyond the pale. These are, of course, considerations, and then you have to weigh it in the balance. As a result, what it means is that we leave that entire Temple Mount in the hands of our enemies. The Rambam asks, this is in the Mor Nevuchim, the Rambam asks, why isn't Yerushalayim clearly stated in Torah? We mentioned last week that Avraham called the place Yir'eh, Shem called it Shalem. Otherwise Yerushalayim is referred to during the course the second half of Sefer Bar, it's called Hamakom, the place that God is going to choose to have his name rest there. What are they afraid of? Why don't they say the name Yerushalayim? So the Rambam gives three reasons. The Rambam says, number one, there was concern if the enemy would ultimately, we will invade Eretz Yisrael, if the enemy will know that that's going to be the capital city of the Jewish people, they will put up a fight to the death over there, and many more soldiers will fall in battle. We know that some of the most difficult battles in history were over capital cities. So the Goyim don't have to know that we plan on making Yerushalayim our capital. And for that matter, the end is that there was very little backlog of Yerushalayim altogether. The Chacham's second reason, Chacham says, if the nations of the world are to know that this is the future capital of the Jewish people, and if they see that they are not able to defend it, and it's going to fall into the hands of the Jewish people, they will destroy it utterly. Scorched earth, Russia's fallacy in the Second World War, scorched earth. That's the second reason. By the way, that's taking place every day now for the last 20, 30 years. They're destroying anything that could conceivably be proof of the fact that Jews once were on that mountain. Do you understand what's happening? Before our very eyes, what's happening, Churban Bayit Sheni didn't end 2,000 years ago. Churban Bayit Sheni is going on now. We're not doing anything about it. We're not doing anything about it. I'm getting a little passionate, I watch myself at the time. I have to be very cool, calm, and, you know, even-handed. But that's what's happening. So I'm not cool. So I'm not calm. So I'm not even-handed. So on. You'll find the other opinion out elsewhere. But the Chas V'Shalom, I understand the position that is taken by the Gadol Yisrael. By the way, it was not only the Gadol Yisrael, other Gadol Yisrael, the Rabbanut Rashid, never came out with a statement permitting ascending the mountain. On the contrary, they prohibited it. I personally sat with Rav Avraham Shapira at the Tzadik of Gotha, and he said, no. He most certainly understood what was bothering me. The people who are behind the whole move go up to the mountain, and most of them are his students. What I did get out of him was that, as an individual, nobody can stop you from going up the mountain. If you prepare yourself halakhically and you know what areas are off bounds, their concern was that sort of it'll open up the mountain to masses of Jews, and they're not going to know how to prepare themselves to go up to the mountain. And what I imagine it's the words of Yeshayahu, Mi bikesh zot miyedchem remos chatzerai, who is it that asked of you to trample upon my courtyard? I understand that. The only thing is, there are people who are going up to the mountain anyway. And we hardly know many people are going up to the mountain and don't have a clue how one should prepare themselves for ascending the mountain. At least it would be better if there would be a planned way of going and we could educate people that this is what you're supposed to do before you go up to the mountain. But all right, let's go. We're jumping ahead of ourselves. Here, the Rambam.
You didn't give us the three.
Huh?
You didn't give us the three of the Rambam.
What?
The third of the
Rambam. Oh, the third of the Rambam. I need you here. The third reason that the Rambam gives why the name Yerushalayim was not clearly stated in the Torah is so as to avoid a war of the Jews. Each one of the tribes would want that they should have that piece of land where Yerushalayim is. And therefore I believe the very first time this statement is made in Torah, it says, Hamakom, the place Hashem Yivchar, Hashem Elokecho, that God, your God, will choose Mikol Shivatecho from amongst all your tribes. And therefore Yerushalayim could not become the capital until the time of Dabar HaMelech. 350 years passed after Jews entered the land, and Yerushalayim wasn't even conquered during that whole period of time. Jews are settling the whole land, and not Yerushalayim. What they had to wait for was when the tribal divisions would begin to recede, and they would all be united under one authority. Only then could Yerushalayim be established as the capital of the Jewish people. Otherwise, there would be a tremendous amount of struggle over who has that piece of land. So therefore, this was the great accomplishment. Shmuel is the first novi about whom it says that all of Israel from Dan until Beersheba saw Shmuel as the great prophet. It was therefore he who was able to anoint the first king, Shaul, and then ultimately the second king, David, because there was a central authority. There was somebody that everybody looked up to and accepted his word. And therefore, once you have David, then you're able to take Yerushalayim, consecrate the area of the Beit HaMikdash. And by the way, what happens in this week's Seder with Avraham Avinu buying, purchasing, acquiring the Maarat HaMakpelah for heavy money, paid for it in full? Precisely the same thing happens with Harabayit. Harabayit belonged to a Jebusite, a Yevusi, by the name of Aravna Yevusi, and David HaMelech paid for it. And the money was collected from all the tribes, so that all of the tribes had a share in Yerushalayim. And only at that point were they able to establish Yerushalayim as the capital of the Jewish people. So that, those are the two, and of course there's the third place that was purchased outright, clearly, and that is of course Shem. Kevin Yosef and Shem, all of that was purchased by Yaakov. And all three of them, they say, it's not ours. You understand? We pay for it with the Yiddish geld, and it's not ours. So we have to lay our claim. We have to make our claim. If the Jews don't go up to the mountains, so then they do whatever they want over there. We go up sometimes, you see. Kids are playing soccer and football and here and there. They're running all over the mountain like to Hashem, and they're silent. But if the government is going to permit anybody to go up to the mountain, we're going to bring the government down. All right. Let's take a look what the time has to say. We're going to go to Perek Shvi. Here it is. Mitzvah Aseh Liyiram HaMikdash. It is a positive commandment in the Torah to fear or to act with great reverence and awe of the Beit HaMikdash. Shenema U'mikdashi Tilo'u. Fear my holy place. And you know what else the pasuk says? That Shabtotai Tishmaru and keep my Shabbat. And the Gemara says, just like Shabbat is eternal, fear of the Mikdash, that sense of awe and reverence for the Makom HaMikdash, is something that is a mitzvah at all times. It's not from the Mikdash alone that it is. The one who commanded, God who commanded that we should fear the Mikdash. On another occasion, speaking to Rav Nachum Rabinowitz, he says, Chanan says that there's a mitzvah of fearing the Mikdash. You'll see the only way you can fear the Mikdash is if you're up on the mountain and you conduct yourself the way you're supposed to conduct yourself. If you're down at the bottom of the mountain, that's no get out of Mikdash. If you're sitting someplace in food storage and you're not doing anything wrong, that's not Yirat HaMikdash. The mitzvah of Yirat HaMikdash is to be there and to conduct oneself with absolute reverence. Of course, he's one of those as others. There's a big debate. The Rambam writes in one place that when he arrived to Yerushalayim, he went off to the Mikdash. So there are those who want to say, no, it doesn't mean that. He went to the Kotel. It seems pretty clear from the words of the Rambam that the Rambam went up onto the Temple Mount, and if there would have been a Jewish government at the time, it would have been brought down by those who would jump the coalition. Anyway, the Ezo Higilatot, what is the fear of the Mikdash? Lord, you can't install the Mahabai, the Maklo, open, min, all Shabarak, Lord, a person should not enter the Temple Mount. Temple Mount. With one's staff. We're not talking about a walking staff that one needs in order to lean on. If somebody can't walk without a cane, that cane is not used for a sort of, you know, what is it that the British officers used to have, or you call that stick, what was that?
Baton.
A baton, okay, well, there's not a lot of gold. Open in all Shabbat, you can't walk up to the mountain with shoes. Oba apun tato. Apun tato, the Rambam has one sheet, everybody else has another sheet. Apun tato, according to the Rambam, is an outer garment that is used in order to absorb perspiration. In other words, if somebody's going with his undershirt up the Harabai, there are others who say that apun tato is a pouch. You know these pouches, people wear pouches? They used to be pouches in which, just like we have them today. Where people would put all of their personal items, etc. No. That, you don't walk around like that on Harabais. Oba avak shahol haglav, avak dust from one street. The Kohanim, of course, walked around without anything. They went barefoot, but we're talking about filth, not just plain dust. Obimol taxurin lo visadino, or with a money pouch. Then sort of longer, and certainly needn't be said, also a rope b'chol harabai, you can't spit on an harabai. Elin is down the rope, if not the obik sutof, he has to spit it into a handkerchief. V'lo yasa harabai derech yikonex mitatakzu v'yetze bapet asher kinegdo kedel katzer adera. You cannot use the harabai as a shortcut to go in one door so you can go out the other door. I want to get to Harazesim, so I go up to Shara Mugravim, I cross the Harabayit to the eastern wall, and I go through the eastern gate. You know what it says? You know what that says? You have to go schlepping all around, and especially with all sorts of one ways this way and one ways that way. You just cross the mountain. You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to do that. The Chorach Nichnasim LaHarabayit is an interesting halacha. Anybody who enters Harabayit, Nichnasim Derech Yemin, you go in, you turn to the right. By the way, they usually used to enter the southern wall of Harabayit. The southern wall of Harabayit? That's where all the... everybody goes south. The southern wall. There were gates going in. And then you came out of Harabai, you turned to your right. You came to the eastern wall, and you turned left. And you went all the way around, and came out on the other side. The Koran, Nosil Harabai, whoever enters Harabai, with Nosim Derechimid, they go into the right, to Makifim, go all around, the Yotzim Derechimid, and you go out to your left. Chutz. Fascinating. Except the Mishad, Old Dahar, except for somebody that something happened to him or his family. And what would he do? Shumah, keep our small moments. Everybody's going into the right. And this fellow, what he's talking about is, one case is, a person who's in Ovel, who's in mourning. Everybody goes to the right, he comes into the left. People see somebody coming into the left. They ask him, why? She says, I'm an Ovel. And they're going to be Menachem Ovel on the spot. Take a look what it says. Chutz, except for person, you know, Darar, that something happens, Shehu Makif HaSmol, he goes in through the left. Leficha Chayim Sharon, though, that's why they've been asking, Maruchal Makif HaSmol, why are you coming in through the left? And he answers, Shani Ovel. I'm a mourner. And they would respond, Hashochem Babayit Hazeh, the one who dwells in this house, Yenachem, Yenachamech Hashel, console you. Or he would say, Shalim Ben Yudel, I have been excommunicated. The din would excommunicate somebody, and he has a din like an oven. If that's what he would answer, so the response din is supposed to be, Hashokin Babayat Hazeh Yitein Dil Racha. The one who dwells in this house should give it into your heart. The Tishma, the Divrei Chabayirachu, you should listen to the words of your friends, the rabbis, the Karavucha, and they will bring you close again. The next, however, is the only place where you find the reason for what you may see people do. Any Kohen who finishes doing his job in the Beit HaMikdash does not turn around and walk out. He walks slowly backwards. Anybody who finished the service and he left, he does not go out with his back to the Beit HaMikdash. I'm on the next up at the top over here. Elo Mahala, he goes on Koranin backwards, Ma'at, Ma'at. Little by little. Umahaleh, Benachat al Tzido. And he goes softly or easily, sort of slightly bent. I imagine, first of all, it makes a lot of sense. If you start going backward quickly, you'll fall. Until he goes out of the courtyard of the Beit HaMikdash. The Chen Anshin Mishkav, Anshin Maimed, or all others who served in the Beit HaMikdash, Ulevim in Duchonan, the Levim who come down from Duchonim, Kachin Yotzin in HaMikdash, Levim in Duchonan means the Levim who came down from the Duchonim where they sang. The Kohanim are the ones who did Birchat Kohanim, but the Levim sang. That's how they go out of the mikdash. Like somebody who walks back three steps after davening. Kozel, all this is to fulfill the idea, the yirah min hamikdash, to be show fear of the mikdash. Lo yokel odom aprosho kinegek sharon nizrach nishamah zorosh u'sharon nivnah. The eastern gate of the Beit HaMikdash, there was an eastern gate. That eastern gate, you go straight, it will take you directly into the Beit HaMikdash itself, facing the Kodesh HaKadosh. North, west, south, there was no such thing. The Mikdash was in the west, therefore from the east, you are facing directly to the Holy of Holies. So a person has to be even more careful there, not to act with any levity whatsoever. Lord Yochel Oda Medrosho, man should not be lightheaded, kinetic sharp is roughly toward the eastern gate to Azora. Now that really means also from, under certain circumstances, from Haratzofim and Harazetim. Because it corresponds directly toward the Holy of Holies. Anybody who enters the temple area has to walk softly. You don't run. In the Beit HaMikdash, you walk softly. So of course we're talking about a person who enters the Beit HaMikdash at a place where he is permitted to go. There are certain places where Yisraelim can go, there are certain places where Levim can go, and then there are places where only the Kohanim can go. And then the Mokom Shemutal Alukam, the Shom V'yira Atzmo, he has to see himself. Shavu omek lefnei Hashem, he stayed before God, to Moshe Nehra, v'horim enai v'libi, Shom Kodim, God says, my eyes and my heart will be in that place forever. U'mahalek, and he goes, be'ema, u'b'yira, v'r'ola, shenena, v'veit, elokim, na'alek, v'rabit. You go with fear, and with trembling, and with awe, and with reverence. Now, let's go to 7. Zayin. Achav Nisham Mikdash Hayom Chorab Amanetein, even though today the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed because of all the sins, Chayav Adam Mabora, a person is obligated to fear the Mikdash. Kemoshahag, and Noah Dov, we know exactly the way one conducted himself at the time that the Beit HaMikdash was standing. Lord, he comes to Lohok, we should literally come to Shon, you shall not go into a place unless it's a place where you're permitted to go. The Lord Yeshik, Baal Zoriyanat, no one whatsoever is permitted to sit in the courtyard of the Beit HaMikdash. By the way, we are now talking beyond the Har HaBayit. One has passed through the area of Har HaBayit. I'll explain this a little better regularly. The Lord Yochel Gosho, Kenege Shara Mizrah, and the Talmud here is saying that whatever was true when the Beit HaMikdash was in its prime is true today. You shouldn't be light-headed facing the eastern gate. Shanana. Here he brings the as Shabto Taitish Moru, keep my Shabbos from the Doshitiro and fear my holy place. Mash Midat Shabbat La'olam, just as keeping Shabbos is an eternal law. Anaf Moru Midash La'olam, fear of the Midash is also forever. Shachot Yishachare, even though it is destroyed, Bikidu Shato Omei, the sanctity remains, and we learned last week, because the sanctity of Midash and Yerushalayim is because of the divine presence, and there is nothing that can remove divine presence from that place. Now, D, you see there, good Aleph? This is the most important halacha that we have to know in terms of the modern day Harabai. Shalosh machanot hagu b'midbar, there were three camps in the desert. Machane Yisrael, the camp of Israel, those were the four degolim. There were four camps that made up Machane Yisrael, three tribes in each, three times four is 12. Umachane Leviya, in the middle you had where the Levian work in camp. That's Machane Leviya. Because it says about it, the song of Mishkan Yachanu, they shall encamp around the Mishkan. Around the Mishkan there was an area that was Machane Leviya, the camp of the Levian. When you pass the camp of the Levian, you are already entering the precincts of the sanctity of the Mishkan itself. This is very important. Umachane Shechina, the camp of the Divine Presence, Mipetach Chatzar Ohel Moed L'Lifnim, the opening that leads into the tent of meeting, the Mishkan, in the desert. Ukenegdan, now, the Rambam is saying, just like there were three camps in the desert, the camp of Yisrael, the camp of the Levian, and then in the center was the Mishkan, so too for all generations, the same thing is true. Mipetach Yerushalayim ad Har HaBayit, from the beginning of Yerushalayim, from the gate of Yerushalayim until the Temple Mount, that's Machane Yisrael. Mipetach Har HaBayit ad Petach HaZana. When once we get up on the Har HaBayit, and now once we're on Har HaBayit, the whole area that surrounds the temple compound, all of that has a halacha of Har HaBayit Temple Mount. That is Machane Leviya, the camp of the Levites. And then there is the area on the Temple Mount, which is the area in which the Beit HaMikdash itself was. That's called. Yeah. Once you pass the Har HaBayit Machane Leviya section, and then you are entering the Azara, right. Now, one more halacha and then you get the whole picture. E. Har HaBayit Mekudesh Mimeno. Har HaBayit is more Mekudesh than Yerushalayim. Shein Zovin V'Zavos Nidos V'Yodos Nechnos L'Shon. On Har HaBayit, Zav or Zav, those who have all sorts of emissions of all sorts of body fluids, and Nida, who has given birth, don't enter there. But, now we're talking about the Harabai. Let me give you a little picture. So if I was going to give in another place, it gives the picture. The temple compound was the northern part of the Temple Mount. It's not going to be too difficult. There's a large southern area of the Harabayit. There's no Beit HaMikdash there. It's all in the northern section. Removed from the eastern wall and removed from the northern wall. So it means the area that is not Beit HaMikdash is mainly the south, a strip along the east, a wider strip along the north, and a thin strip along the west. All of those areas are Har HaBayit. Those are not Makom HaMikdash. Now, what I'm going to say right now, a Tamei Meit, and this is where the great misconception arises, the Tamei Meit cannot, somebody who has been defiled by contact with a dead body, and all of us fall into that category, and there is absolutely no way for us to purify, because you need the ash of the red heifer. We all fall into the category of people who are Tamei Meit. A Tamei Meit, this is the Rambam's point, a Tamei Meit is permitted on the Temple Mount. Tamei Meit is permitted on the Temple Mount, not in the Temple compound. That means that whole area that is not Beit HaMikdash, Tamei Meit, is permitted to go there. there's a misconception by many people that we're all Tamei Meit, so you can't go up onto the mountain. So the Rambam, remember, he said that Har HaBayit is Machane Leviyah, and look what he writes. Umutal achnis hameit atzmo lahar habayit. You can even have a dead body on a Har HaBayit. Ve'insorach lomer tamei meit shehu nechnas v'sham. There's no doubt about it that a person who is tamei meit, who has been defiled by contact with a dead body, all of us, is permitted on Har HaBayit. Who is not committed on HaBayit? Anybody who has had any kind of emission, a seminal emission or other, is not allowed on HaBayit unless they go to the mikvah. So what's necessary is, women have to ask other shaylas, but there are ways for them to go off, but men certainly must, and women must go to the mikvah. That's gotta remember. Can't wear shoes. I remember all the rest that we have learned earlier. Okay. Now, I'm going to go to the next page because I'm not going to go into extra innings on this. This is it. I've chosen here a very simple, not simple, a profound, but a very clear response about are you allowed to enter the Temple Mount? It's by Rav Chaim Dogar HaLevi Olav HaShalom. He was the Rav HaRoshi HaSfardi, the Sfardic Chief Rabbi of Tel Aviv. So he says, all right, there's the Shaila. Let's go to the Tshuva. Har HaBayit hu ha'har shebet hamikdash hayam banui al chelet mishikho. Har HaBayit, the Temple Mount, is a mountain where the Beit HaMikdash was built on part of its surface. First sentence, he's already making it clear. The Beit HaMikdash took up only part of the surface of the Har HaBayit. Har Zeh Mukaf HaYachom, this mountain was surrounded with a wall. And that wall is called Chomat Har HaBayit, the wall of the Temple Mount. Shehakotel Hamadavi Husrid Mimena. The western wall is a remnant of the Chomah of the Har HaBayit. There's a difference between Har HaBayit and Midrash. Shetach Har HaBayit hayah chamesh meot amah, or chamesh meot amah, the area of Har HaBayit was 500 cubits by 500 cubits. And the Rambam gives us precise measurements for the Har HaBayit. Lifnei Chomat Har HaBayit, once you've passed the wall of the Temple Mount, there was something called a soreg. The soreg was a fence that really set off, separated the temple compound from the rest of the mountain. The moment you came to the soreg, it's like saying, Atzor, Mikdash Levanecha. Halt. All right? Gofo, it was high, it was 10 trachim high. How much is 10 trachim? I don't know. 46 inches, 50 inches. Hasore, I would have to know how it was made. It's okay. Lifnin, min hachel, haitan ezgar hashem. Then as you keep going into the temple compound, there was what was called the area of the women, and then after that was the area for Yisrael, and within it there was the area for Kohanim, and after that came the building itself, which was the Beit HaMikdash and the Kodesh HaKodashim. We described it before. Let's go on to the next. Midot HaMikomot Han now Yidurot Lanu B'Diyuk, the measurement of all of these places are known to us precisely. They are explained the Divrei Hadamah Bilchot Bet Abadidah Rakim Hei and Vav. I left Rabbos Bible, they're all here. The Rambam tells you exactly how wide and how long is each separate and distinct area. Lechol HaMekomot HaNalo Haitan Dargat Kibushar Kidah. All of these places didn't have equal sanctity. There were different levels of sanctity. The Kach Shaminu, and this is what we have learned, Ezer Kedusha Tan, hang, there's a Mishnah that says there are 10 levels of sanctity, and V'har HaBayit Nimzo B'Dargat Kedusha Shel Ishit. Har HaBayit is the third. There are still another 7 levels above it. U'Kedusha Tan, hang, and the sanctity of Har HaBayit, Shein Zodim, V'Zodos, Nidas, V'Yodos, V'Chnosim, V'Shom. We learned that already. People who have unusual bodily emissions, or women's given birth, or anita, cannot go in, they cannot enter there. Hachel, there's another part of the Mekdash compound, is even holier. She'en tomei meid, nichnasin l'sham. Haranam hosif, and here we've just learned this from the Ramahs, Shafil made Atzma Mundala Achnis Maharabayit Al Hachel. You can even bring the dead body onto the Harabayit up to the Chel. That which marks off the temple compound. Yitzuyan Shaknisil Vakom HaKodesh B'tumat HaKuf Goremet HaKadera Onesh Karek. Says, yes, somebody who is Tomei, Tumat Meit, is going to pass that line, then there is severe punishment. There is no question about it. Kozot, Timuvan, Tisha Beit HaMikdash, Ariya Bam Yal Tilo. Acha Shechor HaMikdash, after the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, Lo Botlo, Kidusha HaMakom, the sanctity place was not removed. Ki Kidusha HaMikdash, Novat, Mikar, Chalosh, Kunat Hashem Shem. The sanctity, as we said a number of times, is never removed because the sanctity was a result of the divine presence. And the divine presence always remains. Ushchina Eina Metela Loyalam, divine presence is never ever removed. Ka'omer, as it says, and these are the words of the Rambam, we learned this Rambam last week. The Hashimoti et Mikdashayim, I will make desolate your holy places. From which we learn that even when it's desolate, it's still kadosh, it still remains holy. Our wise men said, even though they are desolate, they remain holy. The first sanctity of Beth Hamikdash Yerushalayim in the days of David Shlomo, Kitzel Shaka, the Kitzel of the Tlovo, it became holy for its time and for all time. Kol Gedolei HaPoskim, all of the great deciders of Jewish law, the early and the latter, Umisparam Gadol Mikdel Tzaylam, there is such a large number of Poskim of all generations, Hiskimu Deazot, all agree to this, that the Bet HaMikdash is Kadosh, even though it is destroyed. However, there's only one opinion that says, no, that the Kedusha doesn't exist at all today. That's the Raivad, who disagrees with the Rambam, and maybe the Meiri, Shedato, Enoch, and Rav, whose opinion is not clear. All right. V'lachem, next paragraph. Barur Biyoter is very clear, Shaharabayit Nishar V'Kedushato, Harabayit remains holy. Of that, there is no doubt. K'mobis Banshayab Bet HaMikdash Banuri, just like it was at the time that the Beit HaMikdash was built. V'hu makom, and that's a place, shetumei'ei meit menu'im milihikaneis. No, the Beit HaMikdash is a place where tumei'ei meit cannot enter. Nosim b'ktzara, alright, that zovim and zovos, nidos, viodos, yecholuli tere, they can purify themselves through tevila alone, tevila and mikveh. Veil to make the person's tongue, there is no possibility in our time for anybody to cleanse themselves of tumat meit. Ilu rafsinu hatir kayom hi b'chinat ha'alakha ta'kinsa ha'arabayit. Now he's talking about, now he's up to where we are. If we would want to permit going up to the Temple Mount today, tzvichu ha'ilu la'aroch medidot medu yakot, we would have to make precise measurements. Will the Korah be the Yug at Mikumosha Lamikdash, and we would have to establish precisely what part of the mountain was Bet HaMikdash. It's not difficult at all. You don't have to be a rapid scientist to figure out what area of the Temple Mount is the place where the Mikdash was. Kibon Shem Yidot HaMikdash Yiduo Flamen B'di Yug Nidot. We know the measurements. Precisely. We know the measurements. V'afet Nikomolo Kasher L'Kor. It's not difficult to find out precisely where the Beit HaMikdash itself was. U'bi Yichud Acharei HaChafirot Shemassu Savim HaKotel HaMaravim Minigal Ulonu Kol HaMuvot HaMikdash Pnima, especially since all the archaeological studies that have taken place around the Kotel HaMaravim, we know a great deal about it. What took place over there? Next, last page. Acharei shehayinu kovim et mekom hamikdash b'diyuk, once we would be able to establish the precise place of the Beit HaMikdash, hayam mitbarer mekomo shel hasoreg, then we can figure out exactly where the soreg was, which marked off the temple compound from the rest of the mountain. U'mishom pnima, from there and further, one would be, everybody would be prohibited from walking there. Mishon Pinimah, therefore, like our Surah Nisa. Kibbutzit, because we are all to be made, bimibli, ourselves in Tahir, we can't purify ourselves. Ach, min asarei klapei chutzpah, from the temple compound outward, efshah hayala hatir et hakrisah, b'chol shetach har abayim. It's possible to permit the entrance to the entire area of Har Abayim. On condition, acharei shekol hamikdash l'shom hefer, anybody who enters was tovel b'mikveh b'mayim chayim k'din. Yitzuyim k'mokhen. Also, we have to point out, kol hamikdash v'har abayit, whoever goes up to the Temple Mount, chayim gam machlos b'malav, has to take off his shoes. Lo yikonis odom l'har abayit b'min olam. Alright? Now, yesh olam hachoshishim, there are those who are concerned, and we're not making light of that concern at all. It's a valid opinion. Yes, Omar HaKoshim, the those who are concerned, and who lie, Heter HaKinesis, possibly permitting entry, Yigror HaKrov will bring in its wake Shabbos Rabin, the Yisro Chorus, and the very low ring, many people, they'll go beyond, they'll walk where they shouldn't walk. And that's an Yisro Chorus, they're concerned. You open up the mountain sort of in a mass way, there is definitely a something to be concerned about. Oshi comes from the Shekha, because a number of things can happen. People will go up to the mountain without having taken their shoes off or without having gone to the mikveh. And then, of course, the idea that people may walk into the area of the temple compound itself. Here is Rav Chaim Dovnai. At this point, Rav Chaim Dovnai expresses his opinion. Achos v'aniyot dati, it seems to me, ein kidai v'chashashot elo le'asor la'atzmein v'yisar la'aray. These fears or concerns are not sufficient reason that we should prohibit ourselves from going up to the mountain. Because those who don't care about the sanctity of the mountain are going up anyway.
Yeah.
And they will go up anyway. There are people who go up and don't even have a clue in the world that you have to go to the mikveh or you have to take your shoes off. So what are we going to gain? All that we will gain is that we who know how to go up to the mountain are not going. Those who don't know how to go up to the mountain are the ones that are going up. So what have we gained? Well, Mikhu HaMaksid Mikhzei Gazal. Who is it that loses by this prohibition? Rak Yidei Hashem. Only the God-fearing people shall be bundled, say, Lamod, the Bokom, Hakarov, the Chol HaShah, Lotanik, Udat Or Muflah. Those who want to be able to stand as close as possible to the source of that great light of the Divine Presence. We're the ones that can't go up, but everybody else can go up to a mountain. A Jew who wants to daven facing the Makom HaMikdash. If you're off in San Francisco or Los Angeles, you have to be facing toward Yerushalayim. If you're in Yerushalayim and you're davening, you're supposed to face the Har HaBayit. And if you're on Har HaBayit, you have to face the Makom HaMikdash. And we have the opportunity to do that. So there's a Makom. There are those who say no, they're concerned. They're concerned. People may do the wrong thing. The other side of the coin is, the ones who want to do the wrong thing will be doing the wrong thing anyway. Maybe by permitting people to go up to the mountain, we can educate people to what's the proper way to go up the mountain. These are the two sides of the coin. He makes one further statement though, when he said, huh? That's the last point that I want to make. That's the last point I want to make. What really has happened here in the last 40 years, and unfortunately it was a tragic, tragic mistake of Moshe Dayan, that he gave back the keys to the lock, Shomu Shamayim, what an act of gross stupidity of the highest order. We could have been the Balabatim. We were the Balabatim on the mountain, I don't know, for a day, maybe for a day. I remember I quoted once a letter to the editor in the Jerusalem Post. Was her name Pat Goldstein? She ran a radio station on a university campus in Windsor, Ontario. And when Sharon announced the disengagement that he's going to remove Jews from Gush Katif, the Arab students on campus called a chagigah, there was a simcha. So she interviewed one of them, a number of them, she interviewed a number of them. Said, you know, this is being, we're doing this as a gesture of friendship and peace and all the rest. And they laughed at her. And one of the students said to her, when you gave back the keys in 1967 to the most holiest of your sites, then we knew all we have to do is wait and we're going to win. Anybody who's able to do that has no respect for their own holy land, their own holy site. we have to be able to undo that now. If nobody goes up to the mountain, so what will happen is that the whole thing continues. They dig, and they dig, and they dig, and they're destroying. They're destroying the mountain left and right. And we are the mighty state of Israel, one of the great military powers in the world. And there's a mountain over there, Harabayit Lo Biyadenu. Harabayit is not now it ends. Did I say there are two sides to this? One cannot take lightly the concern that people will go up in a way that is improper. But then again, we can't lose sight of the fact that by our not going up to the mountain, we're abandoning it.
I don't know.